Welcome back to another episode of the Puck Rambles podcast. Today we talk Winter Olympics, the most exciting duo in the NHL, and a bounce back year. Let's do this.
Long time. 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's right. How you doing?
Good.
Busy.
Yeah.
Busy. Good. New semesters are starting up, so a lot of planning to do. So, yeah. Well, we're back.
We are.
We're back, and let's do it. Let's talk hockey. You and I both live in South Korea right now, and I've got a little bit of news about the Winter Olympics. It seems that Alexander the Great Ovechkin says that he will definitely be going to South Korea in 2018 for the Winter Olympics, no matter what the NHL or the NHLPA decide, which is actually great news if we're both still in South Korea at the time.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Because I saw that too, and I was just thinking, okay, great. Let's get like, you know, 2, 3, 4 more dozen attitudes like that. And then that might be enough to keep me around an extra year, actually.
Yeah. But it's true. I mean, if he does it, that means most of the Russian team will probably be following suit.
Yeah, hopefully. That'd be pretty.
He's done this before, and he threatened to do the same thing the last time. They went anyways. But I do you think he would actually come without the approval or the backing of the National Hockey League or its Players Association?
I don't know. I mean, that... Okay, look, I think if he wins a cup, then I think his GM, his coach, his owner, everyone, they're just going to be like, you go do what you want to do. You know, I know that that was sort of Holland's attitude with Datsuk, where it was like, look, he's going to go no matter what, and we're cool with letting him go. There was that sort of, you know, a lot of respect for the guy. He's done winning before, and it was in Sochi, it was in Russia. It was a big deal, right? So I don't know. Maybe if Ovi brings a cup to Washington, they might think it's cool, but I don't know, man. I mean, it's Korea. I mean, you and I know both know that if we're still here and there's tickets on sale, like, I'm gobbling up those tickets. It doesn't matter to me, regardless if it's NHL players or not, because it's still going to be pretty fun hockey. And as I said, you and I both know that there's just not a lot of people here that like hockey. And so we're going to be able to get in there, get to these games, get in close, watch the action.
True.
If Ovechkin plays or not, nobody knows who he is. No one here knows who he is. You might have a bunch of university kids that are out that play on the team here, you know, or didn't make the national team, which isn't, with all due respect, going to be a very competitive team at all. So you might have those guys. But outside of that, no one is really going to know who this guy is, other than he's famous, he plays professional hockey, but I don't know if they'll really be able to grasp, like, just how great of a player he is, how big of a star he is. And if I'm his GM, and, you know, we haven't won a cup in Washington, and we're battling for a playoff spot, and the NHL isn't going, I'm not going to be very happy at all.
I guess it all comes back down to also a matter of insurance, because if he doesn't have the backing of the National Hockey League, National Hockey Players Association, that means all of the insurance falls onto the Russian Federation and might just cause more of a rift between the two, right?
Yeah, if something does happen. They've got enough sort of, things to deal with, as you said, those two organizations already. So, yeah, the insurance is huge. I mean, that's the big deal now, right? Even in Sochi, even in Vancouver, I mean, it was just, you got to get these guys insured. It takes a lot to get it done, but if everyone is committed to getting it done, it will get done. But will it get done for Korea? I don't know. Can't see a lot of guys saying, yeah, let's go here. And also, why come here? Like,
For the Olympics. You're not going for the country. You're going for the Olympics.
But who's
going
to watch it? A. And B, like, you also, I think a big part of the NHL is like you're going, you want to go somewhere that you can kind of build the game. The game, they've already reported here in local Korean newspapers that they're building this rink and they're going to tear it down. They're going to tear it down as soon as the Olympics are over. Like, so what are you going and selling when this host country has already got it in their head? We're building the rink. We're going to use it for hockey. Then we're going to tear it down. And if that's the case, it's like, why don't you just use a rink in Seoul that's already here? It's not that big. It only seats like 3,000, but just go for it because that's all the interest you're going to get anyway. So if I'm the NHL, I've got zero interest in coming to Korea. It has nothing to do with North Korea, the safety, or anything like that because, as you and I both know, again, living here, we're, you know, what, 30 kilometers, 35 kilometers from the DMZ, and just the other day, they're shooting back and forth at each other, and, you know, I didn't even hardly know about it until I checked Twitter on the way home on the subway. You know, it's like, so yeah. I just don't know. Like, how much interest is there really to come here? But it's great. It's cool that he's.
Those
says
are good
it.
Points. All really, really good points. Yeah, I'm a little bit more of a fan of Ovechkin just for that.
Yeah, actually. Me too. I think it's great. I hope he does, and I hope I'm here. I'd love to watch.
Let's switch directions here. I got a few questions for you. Number one, which duo are you most excited to see lace them up this new year? I'm going to give you some options here. Sergei Ben, McDavid Hall, or Crosby Kessel?
I can't believe you're leaving out Brendan Smith, Jakob Kindle. That is the pair to watch, buddy. That is the pair. Okay, so one more time, Sagan Ben... And then Crosby Kessel, was it?
It's Crosby Kessel. If they play together, of course, yeah, it might not be Crosby. But let's just hope. We can at least hope they start off.
They're going to be together at some point, you would think. Yeah, I mean, unless they put him with Malkin and they're just ripping it up, right?
Which might happen. Because Malkin, you know, Malkin's a beast out there also, and he can see the ice quite well. Not as well as Crosby, but definitely on a higher plane than most players in the NHL. And then Sergei Ben. And the last one, of course, is the McDavid Hall combo, who just recently won.
They won the cup. They won the cup.
Bio Steel Cup.
Yeah, their first cup. That's the first of many. Yeah.
Oh yeah, first of many.
First of many, right there. Anyone that doesn't know what that is, it's sponsored by Bio Steel, which is how would you describe that?
It's supplement like a company.
Recovery sports supplement drink. Very, very, very popular in Canada. With athletes, not only hockey players, but they have this 4-on-4 tournament every year with NHL players. And yeah, Hall and McDavid, they just
it's basically a mini camp before the camp.
Yeah,
starts.
Yeah, it's all in good fun. I don't think guys are going obviously 100%, but
It's a 4-on-4 tournament. Yeah, it's a 4-on-4 tournament. They play on Cameron Easton. Cameron Lee came out with his strategy saying that he only picked one defenseman, everybody else was a forward.
Yeah. So there you go.
Which is kind of interesting, though, because. So no one's going hard, of course, but is that a sign of things to come? 4-on-4?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking, yeah.
Yeah, think overtime coming up. Camilleri is going full-out offense all the time. Of course, he's a forward, so he's going to do that anyways. But is this a strategy that worked? Other teams weren't doing this. Other teams were putting out two defensemen at a time. These guys picked one defenseman, and the rest were all fours, and forwards playing D 4-on-4.
Yeah.
So imagine 3-on-3, what it looked like. I think that strategy of going all forwards might, unless you've got a Subban or a Letang or someone, or a Carlson, of course, the best defenseman in the league in that scenario. I think you got to go 3-on-3 forwards. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I have to see it, right? Because I've just only seen it in the AHL briefly. And mostly through the Griffins, the Red Wings AHL affiliate. It sounds a bit nutty to just go with three forwards. But then again, you know, there's a lot of really good, skilled defensive forwards as well. You know, like a Taves, he can go both ways, no problem. You know, Kopitar, there's a lot of guys that can do that. Crosby, I mean, he's no slouch either on the back end. Like, he can... You know, he's a pretty good defensive forward. I don't think he gets enough credit for making the progress that he has. Early on in his career, obviously he's not going to be that player, but he's really sound defensively now as well. So I think it depends on your team. It depends on the combos you got out there. Obviously you want your best skaters out there, for sure. You know, but I want him to go 3-on-3, or I want him to throw 3-4s out there just to see what it looks like.
Yeah, and if you got the puck, right, that's the whole thing.
Yep.
You got to have the puck on 3-on-3. You can't be chasing the puck because you won't. There's too much space. You'll never be able to catch up to the puck.
Yeah.
So you got to break up a 2-on-1. You got to get in the passing lane somehow. But chasing the puck on 3-on-3 is going to be next to impossible. So everything's going to be about, you know, it's all going to be about restricting the ice, meaning bringing guys into corners or bringing guys outside. But these guys are way too good, man. They're way too good to be able to get caught on that. So
yeah, and just listening to you now and sort of thinking about it and kind of like visualizing in my head, it's just going to take like one pass. All it takes, like you were saying, you can't, you know, catch up to the puck, right? And
no,
the puck is faster than any player can be. So it's like all it takes is just one pass and boom, you got a guy that's gone. And we're going to see that all the time, you know, which is going to be fun.
Or at least an odd man rush.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're definitely going to get an odd man rush. I think you're going to get quite a few breakaways or partial breakaways. You're going to get a lot of races for the puck, I think, as well. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see 3-on-3 overtime with no icing. I mean, just go all video game action. Just do it. If you're gonna do it, like just go all
no
the way.
No icing,
no penalties, no offsides. 3-on-3 overtime. Boom, do it.
That'll be done in 15 seconds.
It probably would be, yeah.
So going back to the question, which duo would you like to see lace up this year? Would you most like to see lace up this year? Sergei Ben, Kessel, Crosby, or McDavid Hall, the young guns out in Edmonton?
Yeah, this is kind of, I don't know, maybe everyone's going to say this, but I want to see the kids. I really do.
Yeah.
It's
an unknown, right? It's an unknown. You know,
yeah.
The Sagan Ben's going to be bringing you power.
They're going to be good.
They're done. You know, you're probably picking, if you're doing fantasy drafts, they're gone in the first round. If not the first round, the second round, right? Crosby, Kessel, same thing.
Yep.
If it doesn't work, he just moves down to, you know, to a Malkin. But McDavid Hall,
yeah,
nobody knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's wow. That's a lot of speed too. Not that the other duos are not that the other duos are slow or anything. But
yeah,
man,
but you're
like,
yeah, but you're right though. You're talking, you know, rockets.
Yeah, that's a lot of straightaway speed too, right? McDavid, you know, we haven't seen him in the NHL, but what you do notice about watching this kid play straightaway is what he can do at full speed, and it's pretty phenomenal. It's pretty amazing to watch. And he's not super, you know, east-west guy. He's a northwest kind of guy as well, and so is Taylor Hall, just straightaway speed. So that's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to them. How about you?
Did you hear the first comment as soon as he walked on the ice for the game today or yesterday, whatever it was, just from the bench? I think supposedly it was one of the Stewart brothers. Just watch yourself out there, McDavid. I'm coming for you.
Oh, like as in who? Like the Stewart, like Chris Stewart and.
Yeah, one of the Stewarts. Yeah, so I guess it's gonna be a lot of that, man. You know,
yeah,
you can just see it every single game. He's gonna pop up on, just gonna be some guy on the bench going, "I'm gunning for you, I'm gunning for you."
Whatever. Yeah, you're gonna get that, but after 2 years, it's gonna be like, you know.
Yeah, it's fine.
He's just gonna be skating circles around dudes, especially
after
named
2 years.
Stewart. You know,
yeah,
so
oh, man.
Like,
it won't be 2 years. It'll be 10 games.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be interesting. That's the first big hurdle he's got. To me, it's not really, you know, everybody's the competition. It's not really the talent level in the NHL. For me, the first biggest hurdle that he has is going to be playing against men with man strength.
Yeah, and just like you were saying, I mean, I'm sure he's obviously, this kid has been, you know, people have talked all kinds of trash to him and made threats, and you know, you do what you do on the ice and you say what you can say, but you know, not at this level. And like you said, it's not coming from men that have been in this league for years and years and are really good at it and are just incredibly strong as well. So
What's it going to be like going on corner with Shea Weber, right?
Yeah, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of, you know, kid's got to be incredibly nervous. He's going to be, I'm sure he's going to be scared. I mean, if he says that I'm not scared, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's not. You do have a lot of players that say you can't go out there scared. If you go out there scared, then you're going to fail, right? There's no way you can be successful. But in the back of his head, you know there's some fear there, for sure. As you said, you know, going in the corner with Shea Weber. I mean, hell, even just playing center and being in front of the net somewhere and Shea Weber winds up and takes a slap shot. You know, I mean, even that's scary enough. So
that's what everybody calls the hardest shot to stand in front of is a Shea Weber shot.
Yeah. So,
which is insane when you think about. There's another guy out east in Chera that also has a massive shot. But
yeah, and speaking of Sagan, like I just saw them. I just saw something a couple weeks ago. I went down this YouTube sort of rabbit hole and
love those.
And I saw where he was on with Strombolopoulos and Giroux and Tavares.
And, great segment, yeah.
It was. What's that called again? It's sort of
the round table, or something?
Right. And so, yeah, he's talking about that. He's saying, you know, I just hope that that I look like I'm in the lane, but I'm not in the lane when Shea Weber winds up. So yeah, McDavid's gonna have all that stuff. It's just, you know, it's another level, man. It is the level. It's the highest level.
It's gonna be fun. Yeah. Really looking forward. How many people are going to be watching that first game he laces his skates off?
Yeah, what is their first game? Who do they play? I wonder if they play opening night. But anyway.
You want to know?
Yeah, I guess we can look it up. But
let's do it.
We got the preseason schedules up here on NHL.com. Nice.
October 9th against the Blues. Okay. Is their first game.
So they play, so 9 that's a couple days after. Yeah.
Here.
9 a.m. here. What day is that?
Yeah. Friday, October 9th at 9 a.m. So that's going to be a Thursday night for
okay, Alex. Friday. So I'm penciling that in for a test day, for sure. Going to sit behind my desk all day. How about you? Is it the same for you, or you got a different one?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, McDavid Hall. But only like I was mentioning before, it's and what you were mentioning, it's the unknown factor, right? And it's the speed factor. It's the youth movement. It's a new generation coming into play. And to me, it's the most interesting storyline out there.
Yeah.
Crosby Kessel, to me, is probably the least interesting storyline out there.
Oh, my God. Did you see Kessel the other, what was that, last week where they had on Twitter him, you know, putting the jersey on, putting the sweater on?
Yeah.
It's Phil Kessel, right? So, I mean, you know, not exactly the most charismatic of guys. And he just, like... He puts on the sweater and it's like,
it's on.
Okay,
what do you want me to do now?
I'm beat. I'm beat. I need something to eat and a nap. It's just like, dude, you look so tired. All you did was just put on a sweater.
Sweating. Yeah. Woo. Just sweating.
All right. One more month before Castle. I got to start getting ready, right?
I haven't laced up my skates all summer. But I'm still going to score 40 goals or 30,
he'll
70
probably get
goals.
30, 35.
Yeah, and then Stege Ben, of course, really exciting team.
Yeah, they really totally broke out last year. They're going to have another monster year, I'm sure.
And plus, you know, now they've just added Sharp to their lineup.
Yep.
Who's either going to be playing on that line or he's going to be playing with number 19.
Oh, with Spezza. Yeah, Spezza's there. And then Hemsky's sort of in that mix a little bit around there as
he's
well.
He's dropped off quite a bit.
But yeah, I don't know where he's going to fit in.
Which brings me to my next question for you. Who do you think will have a bounce back here? Give me one player or one team that you think or you believe might have a bounce back here after maybe falling a little short last year.
I would probably my immediate thought is just on the guy that we were just talking about, Kessel. Didn't, you know, I mean, he checked out. That whole team checked out. Especially the last month there, Toronto.
I've never really seen a team do that.
Yeah, they did. And it was sort of, you know, whatever. It was the lowest of the low for that team in that era. That era is now gone. They're starting a new era. They're trying to stack the cupboards and just let's just start from the beginning. Which is probably what they should have done a couple years ago. But Kessel, what did he have? He had 20 goals last year?
His off year.
Yeah, it was an off year for him. So I think he's going to bounce back. He's going to have a huge year. He's going to easily hit 30. A lot of guys are saying, or a lot of, you know, people are saying he should get up to 40, you know, finally crack 40, because he hasn't done that yet. He's been very, very close.
It's hard to crack 40 now. It's really, really hard to crack 40.
So maybe this
Not many players crack 40 at all.
Yeah, and you look at that power play,
too. So it was 25 goals last year, by the way.
Oh, 25. Okay, right, right. So even then, right, I mean, he checks out. He doesn't score the last month, and he still gets 25 goals.
Yeah.
So maybe not a bounce-back year. Maybe it's just the year that we've all sort of been waiting for Phil, although, you know, you can't even really say that because he just always puts the puck in the net. But you look at your options there, your centers and Crosby and Malkin, you look at the power play, and then, as we were saying before, that 3-on-3 action, sounds a bit dirty, but the 3-on-3 overtime, the 3-on-3 overtime, you know he's going to get some overtime goals there as well. So
that breakaway speed of his, he's going to be open all the time.
Yeah, if he's coming down that wing, you know, Mike Johnston, that coach, is just going to be sitting there, man, if you miss the net and that puck comes all the way around the other side,
But he never misses the net.
Well, he can't, especially in that situation, 3-on-3. You're just springing guys the other way. But
that guy, he rarely, rarely misses the net.
No, he's got a great, really low, hard shot, can shoot in full stride.
So definitely so a bounce back here instead of goals, because he's going to get to the 35, so that's going to add 10 more points to his season from last year. Do you think he goes back to a point a game, which is what he was at regularly as a Maple Leaf?
I mean, that all depends if Pittsburgh goes out and brings Tyler Bozak on board, you know, gets a real center in Pittsburgh finally.
So I'm guessing that's a yes then. You think he's going back to a point?
I think he should. I mean, we're sitting here talking about how talented he is. Obviously, he's not most round. Well, he's a round player.
He's
very rounded in the midsection. But he's not, you know, a complete player, right?
He's not a complete player.
He is a 99.9% offensive player out there. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And now he's got two centers that could feed him the puck. There's really, especially if Olli Mäta comes back, and then you've got, you know, who's this other kid that you got down there? The other prospect they're really high on, Pouliot. Is that who it is?
Pouliot, but he's not gonna be playing at the level that Olli Mäta came
out. No, but if you got a healthy Letang, and anyway, the point is there's a lot of guys that are going to give him the puck. So, and as we said, power play overtime, he should get 80 points. He should get about 80 points, I would think. So, yeah, really close to a point a game, if not a point a game.
Yeah, good call. How about a team? A team that's going to bounce back year.
I think Arizona is going to make some noise in the playoffs. I'm thinking conference
final. Meaning that they're all about Austin Matthews, and they're going to be going all the way.
Yes. But quickly
about Arizona, though. Do you think they're going all youth this year? Do you think they're going to be bringing all that youth in and taking a chance of surrounding them with a bit of a losing culture to start off their careers?
Yeah, it's a tough call, right? Because, you know, I mean,
they get tons of playing time.
Yeah,
though,
I mean,
right?
That's the thing. You gotta and you have to ice a team, and they don't have a whole lot there, but they do have some good prospects.
They got Shane Doan.
But like you said, you know, do you want to put them through all that pain and losing and misery? Because it's gonna be bad for them. They are going to be hands down the worst team in the West, and maybe in the entire league. From start to finish.
They have the potential for sure, depending on what they do with their roster, to definitely be the worst team in the entire NHL, which is what they should want. And if you're a fan of the team, is what you should want yourself, because they're calling Austin Matthews.
He's good.
A probable second overall pick last year.
Yeah, I heard that too, where guys were saying he would have, he could have upstaged Eichel there. And went second,
which is huge, because they're calling Eichel. You know, at one point during the season, they were calling McDavid and Eichel just one step behind on every level.
Yeah,
but only one step behind, whereas everybody else is just in a different stratosphere.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about a Matthews that's in between that step, now you're getting a real player. a player that's probably going to be better than what Colorado has ever gotten.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe they just bottom out again one more year and then bring everybody up sort of together. I don't know.
And just hope they win the lottery.
Yeah, yeah. Again, because, yeah, that was Buffalo's strategy. And, you know, they got a hell of a player and someone that should be there for the next decade, you would think, and be a really good player for them. But, you know, they didn't get the player. There's
not that 1-2 punch next year either. It's Matthews and no one, you know what I'm saying, right now?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, not no one, but, like, not the franchise potential player that Matthews or Eichel or McDavid possibly are.
Yeah, and someone, you know, that's coming in right away.
That's,
you know,
right.
And, you know, hoping that he can make an impact, you know, very, yeah, very soon as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, back to your original question, yeah, I would stay in that division. And you got to think that L.A. bounces back and makes the playoffs this year.
L.A.
They played a lot of hockey there for about 3 years. And, you know, they've still got the same team. They've got a little bit of cap space now. They've added a little bit more toughness. I don't know if they necessarily need that. But, you know, they still have a great team. They've got all the pieces there. And now they're rested. And maybe now they're a little angry. Maybe now they're a little pissed off that they didn't win. Or that they didn't make the playoffs, sorry.
What's interesting for me about that team is there's just so much drama.
There is.
It goes well with the city. Yeah, it goes well with the Hollywood feel. Yeah. But, mate, the drama in that team or on that team is ridiculous. And it's not even close to being solved.
No.
We're talking about Voinov, who's presently in jail.
In jail.
Who's going to be ready, in theory, going to be eligible to play in the NHL this year coming up. You know what I'm saying? And then they have to either...
Yeah, he was what, a 90-day sentence or something?
90-day sentence. Yeah. He's serving it right now. So they're going to have to cancel his contract, because I'm sure that's a breach of contract, whatever, he going to jail, right?
Yeah.
Or they're going to have to try to find a way to fit him in, which isn't going to work with the media and the people, the fans out there. I don't think it will. It shouldn't. And then after that, they've got the Mike Richards debacle.
Yeah.
Which doesn't look like they were in the right for canceling his contract to begin with, because he hasn't been charged since the incident.
Yeah, and I don't know. And he may not. Has the NHLPA gotten involved yet with that?
Yes, the NHLPA has filed grievance, and they seem to have a case, a winning case, it seems. Because he, like I just said, like he hasn't been charged, and it doesn't look like he's going to be charged. Yeah. So it's all a big smokescreen right now.
Yeah, and the perception just doesn't look good, right? Because it's, you know, it looks really obvious. You know, we've got a player that we want, and it's really good for us. But he did something horrible, and then we have a player that didn't do something very, you know, as horrible. He's not very good. He's costing us a lot of money. So, boom, you're gone.
Yeah,
and the whole league knows it. And anyone that's following or knows what's happening with these two stories and this team, everybody knows it. It's so obvious.
Such a bad taste in your mouth. You
and
know?
It sort of, yeah, it gives you a sort of, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. It doesn't make you feel good as a hockey fan. And you sort of get the sense that, like, maybe, just maybe, they would try to spin it and give Voinov another chance.
I think they're going to give it a try. You know? I think they're going to see, once he comes off, once he's eligible to play, they're going to see, what's the reaction? How are people reacting to this?
I mean, it's L.A., right? It's L.A., it's California, it's the U.S., so maybe they're just thinking, you know what, we're going to take a hit for... you know, a little while, but then it'll just go away. It'll just go away because it's hockey. It's not football. It's not baseball. It's not basketball. No one's going to stay on us and on us and on us. Maybe they would in Canada, but, you know, down here,
they don't play in Canada, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's part of the strategy. I'm sure they're going over, you know.
Well, there's definitely something going on because they're not letting him go.
No, they're not.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Because he's
good. Under contract.
Yeah, and he's valuable. And on the ice, if they bring him back and he obviously hasn't played in a very long time, But it probably wouldn't take him, you know, too terribly long to get back into shape and be a good hockey player for them again.
No, he's their second best hockey player. Second best defenseman.
Right. And then there you go. And then there's that team. You're just adding to that team that makes them that much better.
That's ridiculous. The other thing I wanted to mention was the Mike Richards contract.
Yeah.
The fact that he got the interesting thing here is that it's probably one of the first instances where a guaranteed contract was canceled. And this is setting precedence. And this is a huge, huge deal. And this is something the National Hockey League or National Hockey League Players Association should really be careful of, because if they can cancel that contract for that reason, it's just that. So that's the bar. And that bar is just going to lower. It's just going to keep lowering.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because, look, I mean, here's a guy that, you know, okay, you're no longer a top six player. Okay, you're no longer a top nine player. Okay, now you're on our fourth line. Okay, now we're going to try to trade you. Nobody wants you. So now we're going to send you to the AHL. We're going to try to trade you again. And, oh, what happened at the border? What? Okay, yeah, you're gone. It's so obvious.
And it's just going to, it's just going to go down too. That line is, at one point, it's just going to be, oh, you're late for practice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you canceled. Sorry, contract's canceled. You're late for practice.
Yeah. You were being a dick at a bar the other night? Yeah, okay, you're gone. Get out of here.
Contract canceled. So that's, and it's a very, very important issue for National Hockey League Players Association. Something you should
the NHLPA knows it, and I'm sure that's exactly what you said. I'm sure that's exactly what they are going in there with. Saying, like, come on, if we do this now, then where is the bar? How far, you know, how low is this going to get? That is the danger, yeah.
And that is going to be the issue for the next negotiations, guaranteed contracts. And that's going to be...
The next negotiation, you mean the next lockout?
The fight, the next lockout,
which will be guaranteed and, yeah.
A couple of years, yeah. And it's going to be guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because... It's one of the beauties of that of this sport.
It is, yeah. Not every sport does it. Yeah.
Horrifying things of the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, it kills me to see that. It kills me to see, you know, any kind of documentary on the NFL or any kind of, or just following the NFL and seeing these guys that are giving it a role and lose out because they get injured.
Yep.
The guy gets injured. His contract gets canceled. He gets injured on the field, and his contract gets canceled. It's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. It is. But you know.
And that might be what the owners are looking for come, you know, the next round negotiations.
Oh, I'm sure the owners would love to,
So that's hockey for this week.
Oh, we got Dan and Briere. That was kind of a thing.
What do you want to talk about? What do you want to say about Danny Briere?
There is no more Danny Briere, the hockey player. The hockey player has decided to hang him up at age 37 after 17 NHL seasons.
He was a really fun player. He always celebrated the same way,
which I liked. He had a good one, you know. Yeah, you got to play. Play the classics, and he never put up huge numbers in the regular season. Although he did out of the lockout, he had 58 points in 48 games with the Sabres.
Man, what an anomaly in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then he had 95 with the Sabres in 06-07. But yeah, in the playoffs, he was just, he was a monster. He was such a great player in the playoffs. And ironically enough, it was that last run with Montreal. He was just, you know, saying this last week, no matter what, for the rest of my life, I can always say I was a Montreal Canadian. You know, albeit for 69 games.
Whatever.
And, all right, don't get emotional and start crying on the podcast here.
No, it's true.
But for him...
What he said is a true fact. Come on.
No, I know. It was 69 games and 25 points, and he... but for him, obviously, you know, look, I mean, that's a big deal as a French-Canadian player. But what I was going to say is, ironically enough, those 16 games, he had 7 points, which isn't horrible, but that sort of lowered his point per game, you know, legacy in the playoffs. He had 116 points in 124 games. If he hadn't played those 16 games for Montreal, he would have had well over 100 or a point a game. But anyway, I mean, that's sort of neither here nor there. Always showed up in the playoffs. He was a absolute superstar in the 2010
playoffs. Such an arse. You do everything here is just to try to get my goat. Everything you're talking about right now.
You're not biting. You're not biting.
Where can I?
I want tears.
He flips out on this podcast. I'm not going to. It's in the past.